Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello and welcome to today's inspiration. I am Lisa Berry and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen. I'm here to share some love and some laughter with you and talk to interesting guests so we can all learn how to become more self-aware and improve ourselves. You know, life can be a pretty painful journey, but I have found it's really all how you look at it. It's how you choose to look at it, how you choose to feel. And I realize sometimes that is easier said than done, but mindfulness matters. Mindfulness is essential for having a positive attitude to get through this rough road of life. Knowing and loving yourself and getting in touch with what is really going on inside you can make such a difference in how you look at the world, what you see, and how you feel and how you experience every day. I choose happiness. I was in Northern Michigan last week, and I was so excited to find my favorite plaque, and I got to buy it this time, and it says, "Life is too short to be anything but happy." And I believe happiness is a choice, and I believe it comes from inside, and I believe you can be happy, and you want to be happy, and why not be happy? So I work at it, and I try to learn, and I try to grow every day because I want to enjoy my life and the people who are in it. So I've come to find it's really important to be self-aware and use the power of your own mind to live a healthy and balanced life. So again, it's really up to you. It's what comes from inside. And on today's show, we have the honor of talking to a Detroit area certified hypnotherapist, and I would like to welcome Dawn Wheeler to the show. Hello, Dawn. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Good morning.
I'm good. We've been working on this for weeks. I'm so excited we finally got a chance for you to come on. Dawn is a certified hypnotherapist in the Detroit area for 16 years. She has a newly released book that we're going to talk about called The Hypnosis I Know, and I can't wait to learn more about what she does and how she helps people, because I really do believe the power of our own mind can make a difference in our lives. And I was thinking about you, Dawn, because this is what you do. When we're getting ready to go on the show, it's kind of nerve-wracking. You know, there's timing and there's technical issues. Are you in a peaceful place? Can you work with your own mind? How are you feeling right now, and how did you get there?
I'm feeling very fine, thank you. Yes, I'm peaceful.
Well, that's good. So how can we be peaceful? Because we want to know how to use the power of our own minds to have a better life. And I know you work with a lot of people with a lot of issues. So why don't we just start with, what is hypnosis? How would you describe it?
Well, hypnosis is essentially a very highly focused state of relaxation that produces an altered state of consciousness within us. And this alternate state of consciousness allows us to communicate with what I call a very hidden and very influential part of our mind, which is referred to as a subconscious. And the subconscious basically runs your show, and it documents everything about you. So it's the place to go if you really want answers and you want any ability to change. So through the mechanism of hypnosis, we can communicate with this hidden part of our mind and discover and understand why we think and feel and act the way we do, as well as why we experience what we do. But more importantly, it enables us to make changes. And these changes can help us experience and control something better in the future, so to speak. And through the hypnosis process also, you can neutralize the painful aspects of the past. You can get beyond the blockages and limitations in your life. You can get a sense of power and peace back into you. You can get new coping mechanisms, acquire new tools to avoid issues in your future and to help you navigate life more easily. And so obviously this makes it easier to bring into your life things you want rather than things that you were conditioned to accept or expect in your life. So that's how I kind of view hypnosis.
Yeah, that's great. I have always been stumped by my subconscious because I think on a upper level I'm doing great, but I think deep down inside there's something going on that's keeping me from achieving what I want to achieve or lose the weight I want to lose. So I'm very anxious to hear what you have to tell us more about getting in touch with our subconscious. I mean, how do you? How deep is it? Do you have to be hypnotized?
I'm sorry?
Do you have to be hypnotized to get there?
To connect with your subconscious, no, because you actually connect with your subconscious on a daily basis. You know, people don't recognize it's a very natural state. We just don't recognize it, so we can't recognize the opportunity it presents us with as well as the vulnerability. You go into it every day, like when you zone out in front of a TV or a video game or computer, or when you're driving a car, do you ever lose track of time and feel like you're on autopilot? Or right when you go to sleep at night and right when you get up in the morning, that twilight time, that kind of disconnected, kind of drowsy moment, your subconscious is actively out there. It's also activated in your dreams. So through your dreams, it's trying to give you clues. It's trying to tell you, you know, what's going on, what's bothering you, and that you need to somehow bring this to resolution. But it's harder to use these everyday moments to communicate with the subconscious and figure out what it's trying to say, because a lot of times it communicates through convoluted symbolism or things that are too confusing. So when you're in a therapeutic setting, you can take that filter off and you can get clarity and you can communicate more easily and ask questions of your subconscious and have it direct you to those pieces that have a lack of resolution, and then give it directions to take out garbage and put shiny stuff in its place, basically.
I think we all need that. I think that is so great.
You know, when you said you feel like there's kind of these two parts of you, you know, there's like a battle going on. Your subconscious drives everything you experience, but you don't know about it. Your conscious, which is the part you use when you're awake, you know, it wants stuff. It wants to be happy. It wants to be successful. It wants to be healthy. It wants to be comfortable. It wants to be prosperous. But if there's something inside that you've taken on, and usually it's, you don't know that you've taken it on, it could be driving why you can't get those things. There is a disconnect, and unfortunately, the subconscious always wins.
It's kind of like
the law of attraction, you know, what right. you believe is what you achieve.
Right.
You know, what you put out in the world is what you get. Well, it's hard to propagate a concept of being positive if things happen to you that were really bad. It's hard to expect good things when there's been so many disappointments or difficulties. And it's hard to bring into your experience things that you want if you really don't believe you're worthy of having it. And, you know, a lot of people have a hard time believing that they don't think they're worthy of it, but there's a lot of life experiences that make us feel that way. And if you, on a deeper level, don't believe that, you're not going to get it. So you have to rewrite the subconscious. You have to rewrite those beliefs. You have to give the subconscious essentially new rules to work with so it can bring into your experience things you want.
How deep do we have to go to make that happen?
You don't have to go that deep. Now, let me just describe a little bit about how you get into hypnosis. Basically, hypnosis requires you to have a very highly state of focus and to narrow your focus and also to relax your body and mind. So now, if you look back in olden days, they used swirling discs and swinging pocket watches and stuff to basically narrow people's focus. But in a more traditional therapeutic setting, the hypnosis practitioner is going to talk in very soft, soothing tones to promote relaxation, have you sit in a very comfortable chair and get in a comfortable position, and then have you focus on your breathing and the sound of that hypnosis practitioner's voice. That's all that's really necessary to narrow the focus. Now, at the same time, that person has to kind of get all that mind chatter out, you know, all the things, your to-do list, your what-ifs, your could-haves, your should-haves, you know, things that flow through your mind throughout the day, because your mind has to be clear if you're going to really have a good connection with the subconscious. Now, to help you relax your mind and clear your mind, the imagination is evoked, and the imagination does two things for us. It distracts this chatty, analytical, critical part of your mind, keeps it busy, so that the person's body and mind can be encouraged to clear and relax and slow down and become more comfortable. The imagination also helps plug us into your subconscious because its origins are there. I mean, without the subconscious, you wouldn't have an imagination. You wouldn't be able to be creative. So by just invoking it, it allows us to connect with that subconscious. Now, when all these happen at the same time, your brainwaves slow down. And when your brainwaves slow down, it's like a door opens, and suddenly everything you want to know about yourself and all your issues is right there on the surface and accessible. And all the emotions you have about those experiences are right there on the surface. You know, at the same time, the subconscious is also highly suggestible. It's receptive. It wants to receive information, so you can give it instructions. You can tell it what you want to do, what you want to change. And through the imagination, which is pretty much its primary language, you're going to trick it into taking out garbage and putting good stuff in its place. So that's kind of how the hypnosis process is created. And when you're in it, you feel pleasurably relaxed. You're completely aware of everything that's going on around you. You just don't really care because you're pleasurably relaxed. And you're able to communicate and carry on a conversation even though you're very relaxed. You can open up your eyes during hypnosis and walk right out of there at any point. It's not like the movies present. You're not in some vegetative coma state. You're not sleeping, because sleep is sleep and hypnosis is hypnosis. It's just a tweaking of your brainwaves. When you're asleep, your brainwaves are very slow. When you're awake, they're rapid. All you're doing is slowing down the brainwaves just a notch, just to open up that dialogue, to be able to connect to that part of your mind. And when you do, it's kind of like there's another person in the room who's feeding you information. And when, like, if you asked yourself, or if someone asked you something about you when you were awake or conscious, you would probably hesitate and say, oh, I don't know, I guess, maybe. But when the subconscious is there, there's no I guess or maybe or hesitation. It's this is how it is. This is how I feel about it. It's just right there on the surface. And when you get those pieces of information, the clues, the, you know, the pieces of the puzzle, you can then start taking away those things that are limiting you, blocking you, discomforting you, and causing you grief. And then you can bring that subconscious in line with what you consciously want, so they're on the same page, and then everything works more smoothly.
So that's why someone would come to someone like you, Dawn Wheeler, a Detroit area certified hypnotherapist, so you can help them work through some issues and get in touch with that part of their brain that they may not even be aware that could be holding them back.
Absolutely. And you know, it's you ask yourself, why do people want to be happy, healthy, prosperous, and successful, but seem to receive this the opposite of what they want? And that's because there's something in the subconscious that's blocking them, that's limiting them. And it knows. Your subconscious documents everything about you. It runs the show. It runs your body. It's got all the pieces. All you need to do is go in there and ask. And it can tell you what's wrong, and it can tell you to what degree you can change things, and it can tell you how to change things if you just connect with it.
So it's very,
you know how they say, the answers are within.
Right. The subconscious mind is very powerful, and I'm surprised we don't hear people talking about it more. Although it sounded like the beginning of hypnosis was a lot like meditation. You just kind of relax and let go of all the thoughts in your brain.
Meditation is very much like hypnosis. In fact, you know, I kind of equate them, you know, but the thing is there's a different objective. With meditation, people are just trying to be still. They're trying to just kind of get to a level of peace. Sometimes they'll ponder a question, but most of the time it's not a very active state. You're just trying to relax. With hypnosis, you got stuff to do. You got junk to take out. You got changes to make, you know, so it's a very active state. But it's the same type of thing. You guide yourself, or the person guides you into relaxation. Hypnosis is something that you do for yourself. A hypnotherapist facilitates you getting in there because it's easier for you to maintain objectivity, compassion. They have tools and techniques that can be more efficient in helping you release junk. You know, they can make the process a lot easier. I mean, if you've ever sat down to hypnotize yourself at home, usually when you're trying to quiet your thoughts and relax your mind, you're thinking, oh, did I mail that bill? Oh, did I put up that laundry? Oh, did I call someone about this thing or that? There's a lot of distractions when you're trying to do it yourself, but the hypnotherapist can help you get rid of those distractions and help you promote that relaxation more easily.
Would you say that you hypnotize people or you put them in a hypnosis state? Do you prefer either one?
It doesn't matter to me, yeah. It doesn't matter. Do you put them in a hypnosis state or you hypnotize them, they're the same.
Do you think people are cynical or afraid to be hypnotized?
Well, I think it's both. I think, and there's also another aspect about whether or not they're willing to change, because hypnosis doesn't work unless you're ready to face your stuff and whether you're ready to actually make changes. A lot of people, they get comfortable in the familiar, and it's not like no one really wants to suffer, but sometimes the familiarity of that is easier to deal with than the unknown. So there's fear. There's also the fear that's produced by, unfortunately, some of the negative perceptions of hypnosis that's been propagated year after year through movies, stage shows, TV, and so forth. They don't really focus on the therapeutic side of it. They don't really focus on the positive side. And they propagate this idea that somehow you're going to be controlled and that you're not going to have any say or power through the process, which is not true because you can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. But that's not what people think. They think they're going to cluck like a chicken. They think they're going to, you know, it's true. I there's so many people, if I'm like, you know, meeting somebody for first time and it's not in my therapeutic setting, obviously, and they're asking me what I do, they're like, oh, don't look at my eyes, you're going to make me do something I don't want to do. And it's like, if I had that power, honestly, this world would be very different and no one would disappoint me. And trust me, it's safe to look into my eyes. You know, it doesn't work that way, but that's what happens. People have a misperception of the whole thing. And so they lose out on this opportunity to heal themselves. This power is within everybody, but we're not educated as a society that we can do this. So it's hard. It's hard to get them to do that. But people do get tired of suffering. People do get tired of feeling bad. People do get tired of disappointment. And eventually, after they've tried doctors and medicine and other alternatives, you know, on their last stop, they're saying, okay, I'm desperate. You know, you're my last shot. You know, help me. I wish they would come to me first, but, you know, a lot of people look at this as a last resort because it's so mysterious.
I just think that life, you know, stuff happens no matter, you know, how much money you have or how hard you pray or how many friends you have. Stuff still happens in life, and I just think we all need ways to cope with it and deal with it, and why wouldn't you want to feel good?
Well, you know, I always say when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of changing, that's when people shift. We adapt. It's all about that familiar thing. You know, nobody really wants to suffer, but they've learned to get comfortable and adapt with the pain that they have. And because they don't see a lot of potential for things to get better because of their previous experience, they anticipate it to be worse, and they won't have all the adaptions that they have, they are reluctant to make that change. They're reluctant to step over to that other side and see what that has to offer. But eventually they reach a low. Eventually they reach a pain level that's so great that they say, I can't take any more. So the risk of changing suddenly is not going to be any worse than what they're experiencing at that time. And that's when people shift.
We're talking to Detroit area, a certified hypnotherapist, Dawn Wheeler. What kind of issues do you help people with?
Well, hypnosis can be used to address virtually any issue, physical, emotional, behavioral, mental, spiritual, anything. And I never limit the tool, and I never limit what it could be used for, so I get the full gamut. It could be used for stuff like self-esteem and depression, anxiety, stress, addictions like alcohol or drugs or gambling, health issues, pain, fears and phobias, you know, like heights and closed spaces and water and grief, trauma, PTSD, guilt, anger, people who have disruptive sleep, insomnia, nightmares, relationship difficulties, school-related stuff like focus, memory, test performance. You can even improve your golf game or improve your competitive sport performance. These are just a few of the things that hypnosis can help with. There's just like this unlimited – the only thing I haven't really seen is someone regrow a limb, but I've seen pretty much anything. And maybe one day they'll be able to do that. But, it's like the problem is until you make contact with the subconscious, there's really no way of knowing to what extent a change can be experienced. And while many people see total elimination of their issue or reversal of their symptoms and behaviors, some only see a relief or an improvement, which to them is better than nothing, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, again, until we get in there, we really won't know to what degree they can change. But I personally have witnessed countless transformations that many would categorize as a miracle. And I just feel that they're very commonplace because we all have that power to heal. And so, to me, the only thing that limits people is their willingness to change and their willingness to face the things that they need in order to change. Otherwise, anything's possible.
Well, how do you, for example, use hypnosis to improve self-esteem? I know so many teenagers who deal with that, and adults as well. I think that's a big issue. Nobody really talks about it. I think a lot of people walk around feeling like they're faking it in life, and really deep down inside they have an issue of self-esteem. So how do you even address that or deal with it?
Well, let me take a step back and talk about a different philosophy in how I approach problem solving. Now, in the hypnosis community, there are a lot of different perspectives on how it should be used, what it should be used for, et cetera. And the experience that you have with hypnotherapists will depend upon their belief system, their personality, and, of course, their training and background. Now, my perspective is much more a comprehensive approach than some of my peers. There's some people that believe that you should have a one-way relationship with the subconscious. You should only tell the subconscious what you think it needs to hear in order to affect change and hope that what you're saying is going to not only affect change, but that it's going to be lasting. To me, that's a little too iffy and risky. I prefer to go along with some of my other peers who believe in two-way communication with the subconscious, which allows us to actually find out what's necessary for resolution to questions. So when you say, you know, how do you solve self-esteem issues? Well, a person's self-esteem is unique to them. And there's a lot of different reasons why you can have poor self-esteem. So I just ask the subconscious, well, what are the pieces of the puzzle that we need to deal with that's going to be able to give this person a better sense of self? What is it that happened to them in their past? What is it that they've accepted into their belief system that is causing them to feel less about themselves? What do we need to change them? And so when I do that, you know, I release the blockages that have been created. I release the actual emotions that they have taken in, the self-doubt, the self-minimization, the feeling of not being enough or not being good, you know. And I also help them rework their perception of themselves, help them, in many cases, a lot of stuff happens when we're early on, so in many cases we have to actually heal that inner child and help that inner child to realize that the things that happen to them are not their fault and that they can get beyond that and they can move forward and they can expect good things and they can have love and they can have support. And most of all, they have to love themselves and they have to forgive themselves and they have to recognize that even if they make mistakes, that's a part of the human process and they can learn from them, they can move on, and they can be better. So basically, I customize whatever is relevant to that individual. I let their subconscious guide us. I let their subconscious reveal the pieces and tell us when we're done. So basically, you know, it's like peeling an onion. You know, here's a piece of the mystery. Resolve it. And whatever comes to mind, I help them deal with that piece and resolve it and neutralize it. And then another piece is presented, and I do the same. And at the end of every session that people come to me for, I ask the subconscious, is there anything more that could create this problem in the future? If it says yes, then they come back. If it says no, then we're done. So I choose the no-brainer approach. I choose to be sitting in the back seat and letting the subconscious drive the process because it knows exactly what we need to do to make changes for that person.
So it sounds like you're more than just a hypnotherapist. You're kind of a counselor because you said one of my favorite pieces of advice, and that is to love yourself. And that's more than just being hypnotized. It's getting to a place in your brain or in your heart or in your soul or wherever you're going in your subconscious and knowing that you are lovable and that you should love yourself. And to me, that sounds more like, you know, you're giving advice and or a psychologist and a hypnotherapist.
Well, there are psychological aspects to it because a lot of the issues that I deal with, you know, like depression and anxiety and addiction, you know, they have definitely a psychological basis and an emotional basis. I mean, you know, pretty much everything we have issues with comes from either a negative belief or a negative feeling that we have. And so we have to resolve those negative feelings and have a way of getting them out, and we also have to be able to change our negative beliefs into positive beliefs so we can get things going in a positive way. But a lot of times people don't have the awareness of why they are the way they are. They are completely disconnected. And so part of this process is discovering this is why you feel this way. This is why you're blocked. This is why you have these experiences. So they finally understand it, and then they resolve it. But yeah, but the difference is I am not, you know, sitting down and having them just express and tell me what's on their you know, on their mind consciously. I'm allowing their subconscious to express to us, to give us the truth, to give us the real crux of the matter, and to help us to see these pieces. And then based on, you know, my ability to process the information that's presented to us, you know, I, you know, I help that person come to peace with it and be comfort with it. So, yes, it is therapy. It's absolutely therapy. It's just, it's done through that person's individual inner awareness.
Well, you know, I'm also big on parenting because I feel like you don't have to heal your inner child if you had a good childhood, possibly. And
sure.
I talk to a parenting expert, and sometimes she says that lack of self-esteem is a genetic issue. Do you ever come up against that wall that sometimes people are just programmed to be a certain way or feel a certain way?
See, I don't buy into that. I don't at all. And I recommend a book by Bruce Lipton, who the biology of belief, and he's a cell biologist, and he shows that from a cellular level that we are more than our biology and genetics, and we can transcend that. And basically what I've learned in my business is that if you change your beliefs and you change your thoughts and feelings and you make peace with the past and you change your environment, you are not determined by your genetic predispositions. You can do anything. I've had people who have had illness that many people in their family or have had issues that many of the people in their genetic line have had, and they've been able to overcome it and eliminate it. You know, you can do it. You are not defined by your genetics. If you choose to believe that, I mean, that's what the medical community would like us to believe, but that's not true. Our physicality, our emotions, our behaviors are all driven by our response and what we think and believe and feel. And if we can make those positive, and if we can come to peace with our past, and we can see that we are powerful and we are capable of being happy and healthy despite our circumstances of the past, we can be. The problem is we can get into the self-fulfilling prophecy thing. You know, if you believe because your great aunt so-and-so died at 50 because of a heart attack and you look like her that you're going to die of a heart attack at 50, then you probably are going to because you believe that. You accept that as your reality because people say it enough. Well, you look like your aunt and, you know, and genetics and all. But it's to me, it's you're believing that. And I've seen too many things that say otherwise. So I don't believe that.
Are you a fan or follower of Deepak Chopra? I had a guest, Dr. Rudy Tanzi, who wrote a book with him called Super Brain on this show a couple of weeks ago, and they're writing another book about epigenetics, and I don't know if you're into that or not, but that's basically what you're saying, that they feel that you are not predetermined, that you can change your genes and you can change your future health by dealing with yourself and your brain.
Well, there's also another aspect, too. You know, a lot of people focus on physical genetics, but they don't look at the genetics of their family structure and dynamics. Think about, for example, you know, you get tools from your parents, and they get tools from their parents. And by tools, I mean, you know, how do you cope with life? How do you take care of yourself? How do you communicate? How do you express affection? How do you express your emotions? Or are you supposed to keep it all inside? And depending upon the tools that they have, some people have a lot of tools. They can navigate life easily. They struggle very little. And they feel a high degree of self-worth. Then there's those people that have absolutely no tools. They're just struggling all the time, and they pass these limited tools down to their children, and they struggle. So a lot of times the reason why you experience the same thing as the people before you is because you're working with the same limited set of tools. It's not because it's a physical thing as much as it is an environmental thing. But if you seek out new tools and you make peace with your past and you create a better relationship with yourself, then all of a sudden you are experiencing totally different things than what the people who came before you. You can stop the insanity. You can break that whole cycle if you choose to seek out different tools and you don't let yourself be defined or limited by the tools of the past. Now, there's also the self-esteem of your parents. A lot of times that's passed down because they don't have good self-esteem. They don't love themselves. They don't even know what that means. So how are they going to show a child this is how you love yourself? It's the blind leading the blind. But if that child finds new connections in their life and they find new tools to cultivate a different relationship with themselves and to find value in themselves, all of a sudden, guess what? You know, they're feeling pretty good, even though their parents were incapable of helping them feel that.
Well, see, and I think that's why self-awareness is so important, because I think there's a lot of people walking around and they don't even realize how unhappy they are or how much they are not in touch with what's really going on in their life and in their head, that it's important to be self-aware and to be aware of how you come across to other people and how you feel about life and what you're doing every day in this existence as we walk around.
Well, that requires personal responsibility, you know, being responsible for your own happiness. I mean, what you were saying in the beginning, you know, you choose to be happy. Well, right. You have to be responsible for yourself and your choices and your actions and the consequences of your actions. And you have to take responsibility for your own happiness. And that means sometimes you have to ask yourself hard questions. Sometimes you have to make changes. And sometimes you have to ask for help. And when you do that, you have an opportunity to live differently and actually have that happiness every day. So personal responsibility is part of that.
You've said something numerous times now, and I actually wrote it down, how important is it to make peace with your past? I talk a lot on this show. I did not have a good childhood, and a lot of things have gone wrong in my life with friends and loved ones, except I still wake up every day, and I choose to be happy. But I look at my parents, and I tell myself they did the best that they could do, so I'm not walking around with a lot of anger for what happened there. But I don't know, what does it mean to make peace with your past? How deep do you have to go to get that peace?
Well, you know, what you just said is interesting because, you know, a lot of people, first of all, let's talk about self-awareness. A lot of people don't have self-awareness because they don't want to have it, because
right.
It's too painful, because, you know, they need to put in a protective mechanism to numb themselves so that they don't look at it too hard and they don't realize, you know, how terrible it was. So a lot of people choose to not be self-aware on some, you know, unconscious level just for safety purposes. But let's say they are aware, you know, and like yourself, you recognize limitations of your parents. I mean, it's typically, most parents do not set out to do harm. They just don't always have the tools in which to avoid doing harm. But here's the thing. You can't invalidate your experience. You can't invalidate your feelings. That's like the worst thing you can do. You have to recognize, okay, yeah, they're limited in what they were able to do for me. They didn't mean to do harm, but guess what? I felt bad. And it's okay to say you felt bad. It's not a betrayal of your parents. It's not saying, you know, I'm a bad child because I didn't like everything my parents did for me or didn't do for me. It's just saying that I'm important too and my feelings matter and they didn't meet my needs all the time and it hurt. You know, but validation of your feelings is not the only thing you need to do. You can get to some intellectualization. I mean, there are people, let's say, who, for example, who grew up in a home where you have a very critical parent and it made them feel very minimized. And that person can say, well, you know, my father or my mother who was critical, you know, they grew up with very, very mean, rigid, inflexible, critical, nasty parents. So, you know, they didn't know any better. And that's true. You understand on an intellectual level. But guess what? Some people still feel bad. And that's the problem. When you still feel bad, even though you intellectually understand that, even though you choose to be okay and you choose to move on and make different choices than your parents do, if inside you still feel like something is not okay, that means you have to go within the subconscious and clean out those remaining feelings so that you really can be neutral about it, so you really can be okay and you can not look back but look forward.
So what do you mean clean them out? Do you have to discuss them or cry about them or throw them into a fire?
Typically the subconscious will, let's say you know, the subconscious may do a couple of things. One, it may just indicate, you know, here's this past event that was very significant to you. And the idea of revisiting the past is called regression. Sometimes that's necessary because sometimes we need to see the scene of the crime. We need to see where it all started, where our problem began. And when you revisit that, your subconscious is almost like making a movie in your head, and you're being able to revisit the scene and see what happened, see how you felt about what people said, what people didn't say. But most of all, you have to connect to what kind of feelings did you store about that. See, when you have something happen to you, you have a choice. You can either express the feeling at the time or you can store it. And it's not like you consciously know that, but it's happening. Your subconscious stores your emotional response to what happens to you. If you don't have the ability to express, if you feel issues about emotional expression, if it's not convenient or what have you, it doesn't just go away. It gets stored in your body on some level in your subconscious. And so your subconscious, in its effort to let you know you have these unresolved elements, will periodically try to get your attention through your dreams or even through your physicality. It may create pains in your body or illness in your body. It may create blockages in your life. It may create undesirable behaviors just to let you know that there's something wrong, because it doesn't have an easy way of telling you that this is unresolved. So when you go in hypnosis, you can see these pieces that are unresolved. You can identify the regions of your body that are holding these negative emotions, and then through imagination, you can translate what is intangible, like fear or anger or sadness, into something tangible, destroy it, and it has this uplifting effect within that person. Physically, there's a lightening where almost like you feel like someone's lifted a brick off your body. But more importantly, there's a neutrality that comes in. Where there was once maybe anger, there is now a peace and forgiveness. Where there was once sadness and grief, there is an openness to joy and a peace. So you actually lift the emotions off that person. And so as a result, it can't poke them. It can't cause them to have these responses that they don't like anymore. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that's perfect. But you're a hypnotherapist, and so that's how it works for you.
My approach. I mean, everybody is different. There's a lot of different approaches. There are some hypnotherapists that feel that you should re-experience your traumas to their full extent, go over them and over them, and actually emote them as you're going. To me, that puts someone in a very unsafe kind of situation, because I've had people who have been molested. I've had people who have been in horrific accidents. I've had people who have been brutally beaten. You know, they don't need to re-experience that in order to release the charge of those experiences. They can indirectly connect to those limitations and release them through the imagination and view things objectively, like they're watching a program on TV or a movie, or like they're visiting a scene from, you know, like an on-the-scene reporter.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you do a lot of healing. You're doing some deep mind over matter healing, and I think so we can get through our day and be happy, because you mentioned something about feeling bad. I grew up feeling bad all the time. So now I choose to feel good. Can it be that simple?
Yes, it can. Absolutely it can. It depends upon the degree of trauma. It depends upon the degree of awareness of that individual. It also depends upon other tools that you're using to release those emotions and to validate yourself. And if you do, that's fine. Some people, that's all that's necessary. Some people, it's not enough. Sometimes they have to go in and clean out the debris in order to really have more significant change. So, you know, it really depends upon the individual. Personality is everything. I mean, there's, you know, you can have people who, they can have heard their whole entire life how lousy they are and how worthless they are and how they're never going to amount to anything. And they may have rejected all those instructions because on their personality level, they think these people are stupid. They think that they couldn't possibly be right because they're so awesome, and so it doesn't do any damage to them. But most people, when they hear these terrible things about themselves, it does. They take that in. They accept it as true, and it whittles away each day at who they are and what they feel about themselves and what they're capable of. And if they don't have a way of processing that and realizing that that is incorrect, they sometimes have to go behind the scenes and clean that stuff out so they can authentically, really, truly believe that, you know, there's nothing wrong with them, that they're good.
Well, you talked about validating themselves. That's where I think self-awareness and self-love is so important, because you know who you are, you know what you have to give, and you know that you love yourself and that you are worthy. But I find trying to get validation in a world where everyone is trying to get validation is not an easy thing to do. That's why you have to do it for yourself. Right.
So
do people come in for hypnotherapy if they have like a backache? Can you help them with like, really?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you some of the things that, you know, in terms of physical stuff that I've worked with. I've had several people reverse Parkinson's, and the medical community doesn't say it's possible. I've had people reverse cancer. I've had people get rid of chronic health conditions, pains. Back pains, oh, my God. I had this one gentleman who came in, and he came in for he had a little phobia, and he said, I want to get rid of this phobia. But I said, well, don't be surprised. As we clean stuff up, a lot of times, you know, physical changes occur. And he says, well, if you can get rid of this back pain that I've had for 20 years, that would be awesome. And his subconscious got rid of it, and he was able to do stuff he hadn't been able to do for 20 years. So all that's possible. You can accelerate the healing of tissue after injury or after surgery. You could rev up systems like your immune system and your thyroid and so forth like that. You could address blood pressure issues. You could address allergies. You can address all sorts of physical issues. Like the immune system, oh my God, I had several people who had compromised immune systems, and several of them were actually told by their doctors, pack your bags, you're leaving, you know, and they're not leaving. They're perfectly fine now because we got to the source of why their immune system was shutting down and basically attacking their bodies, and we stopped that process and helped them heal their bodies, and their bodies are perfectly healthy now. I know it sounds crazy, but I see this all the time. This is commonplace for me.
So, you know, I don't think it sounds crazy. I think it's great. I think it's using what we have.
Anything is possible. Like I said, I have not seen anyone regrow a limb. That's about it. Other than that, I've seen everything. I've seen people with fibromyalgia who couldn't function in their lives. They're perfectly fine now. I've had people with chronic fatigue, chronic coughs, chronic sinus conditions, chronic insomnia, chronic whatever. You know, a lot of that stuff can go away because the body and mind are connected. Mm-hmm. And it runs your body. It runs your immune system. It runs your autonomic responses. I mean, you didn't have to think today, did you breathe? Because your subconscious does it for you. But just like we get junk in our trunk and we don't do really well sometimes, the subconscious gets bogged down with our junk and it can't do as good a job of running our body. So if you clean the subconscious debris out, it could be much more effective at doing its job. And people end up having greater health, greater comfort, greater strength, greater energy, greater endurance. They sleep better. They feel better and can stay better for longer, basically.
Talking to certified hypnotherapist. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Certified hypnotherapist Dawn Wheeler. Her website is mindovermatterworks.com, and that's where I saw that you have an integrative approach, integrating body, mind, spirit, and energy concepts to help people. So is that what we've been talking about? How does that all come together?
Well, I recognize that we are not just our bodies, and also within the mind, we capture our whole experience. We don't just capture our emotional response to life. We don't just capture our physical response to life. We capture energy around us. You know, energy affects energy. I think I've seen on your show where you talk about the law of attraction. You know, there's an energetic component out there. You know, if you go around someone who's negative, you don't feel very good around a negative person, right?
Right.
And if someone is negative in their speaking, that adds to the energy of their negativity, and it makes you feel even less and less. Well, we not only store our experiences and our emotional response about those experiences and our beliefs about what's happened to us or about ourselves, but we can also store the energetic component of that as well, how people – the energy of just being out in the world, and sometimes we need to learn to shield ourselves and to ground ourselves and balance ourselves so that we're not as affected by other people's negativity, and we can detach from that, and we can maintain balance and comfort within ourselves more easily. So I also address some of that stuff in my practice as well. And then there's the spiritual aspects where people are using hypnosis for spiritual growth. They're looking to, you know, find their life purpose. They're looking to connect to spirit on the other side, whether people believe it or not. You know, you can do that. There are people who come to me to explore past lives. There are people who come to me to understand their soul more, or to connect with their departed loved ones or guides and guardians. So there's also a spiritual component to this as well, depending upon what people are looking for. And many times, even if you're not looking for those things, because of who you are as a soul, because what your subconscious thinks is necessary for your healing, it may bring these other things into your experience, into the whole hypnosis experience.
Uh-huh. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Is business good? Because I think you have so much to offer. I think that a lot of people could really use this, and I'm glad I can get the chance to get this out there. But I'm wondering, I think people hear hypnosis, and like you said at the start of the interview, they see a watch going back and forth, and you're going to give them to give you all their money. And that's not what this is. You have so much to offer. I think it can really help people.
No, I do well I would like to have more people, but I do well. But it's a belief system, and you know, sometimes you have to wait till people get it, you know. But it's
you
true.
Also haven't...
It's sad. It's sad that people don't think outside the box. It's sad that they don't look for an easier way. Because this is easy. It's really easy. I mean, is it easy to face your stuff? No, but it is easy from the standpoint of, I'll tell you honestly, most people resolve their issues within 3 to 5 sessions. It could take less or more, depending upon how deep-seated it is. This is not a long-term thing. Because I let the subconscious process, you know, lead us through this, and because I interact with it and it guides us through the process, it's very efficient. You know, you get in, you get out. You get in, you get out. It's very easy to solve really complex issues.
Well, I also think with thinking like this, it threatens people in a traditional world. I go to a traditional church. I have a lot of traditionally religious friends, and I feel like I can have this information and share this information and still have my traditional beliefs and not challenge anybody else's traditional beliefs.
You know, there's room for all of us. You know, everybody deserves to be here. Everybody deserves to feel and believe what they believe. It's just don't impose your stuff on someone else. And if they feel that this is something that's going to be good for them, you know, don't make them feel like they're evil or bad or what have you for it. That's all I ask, you know. But the problem is through fear and through manipulation sometimes people miss out on the opportunities that I believe are their own God-given right. I don't believe God sits back and says, you know what, I want you to continue suffering. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. I believe that God says, you know what, there's tools out there. You know, I will try to guide you. I will try to give you hints as to what to do to make your life better. You know, try and get on the boat. You know, try and do it. You know, don't wait looking for it in a certain way. Don't determine the how. You know, just be open and receptive, and you'll get what you need. That's what I believe. I don't believe that we're supposed to suffer. But unfortunately, because people are afraid, And they have limited views of the world, and you know they miss out on this and they suffer, and I think that's really sad.
Well, I mean, because I suffered growing up, because I know what it feels like to feel bad, I want to feel good. I think we're all, you know, part of my journey is losing my sister to breast cancer at the age of 51 and being with her on her deathbed. And, you know, no one likes to mention it, but that's, you know, we're all going to have the same ending. So, like you said, why not enjoy the ride? Why not be happy?
Exactly.
Why not
exactly.
Look for the path?
You know, and if anything, that makes it more clear to you that life is short. And you can either, you know, kind of brace against it, or you can flow with it. Mm-hmm. And to me, there's so many tools out there that can help you flow more easily than brace.
And hypnosis is one of those. And in fact, Dawn Wheeler has a book out called The Hypnosis I Know. Well, what can you tell us about that?
Well, it is about the hypnosis I know. That's what the title is. I wrote it to kind of what we're talking about, you know, is to kind of raise awareness, to open people's perspectives to the power of their mind, the workings of their mind, and how hypnosis can be used to transform their lives. I break through these limited perceptions that are not only propagated, I'll say, by media and stage shows, but even by my fellow practitioners themselves. Because if they choose to practice it in limited ways and they choose to view it as only being acceptable for certain issues, they are presenting to the public that this is all you can get, and that limits the tool as well. I also confront some of the controversies, you know, and the differences in the field, because we have camps within camps throughout the hypnosis business, and everybody has different philosophies about how things should be done and what could be done. My perspective is not the typical, I'll tell you right now. My perspective is like I'm in the other room. There are people with me, but there's not as many people with me as there are outside the room. And so I talk about that, and I talk about safety aspects, and I talk about you know, the significance of our feelings and dealing with them and tools and what have you. I talk about a lot of different things, including energetic and spiritual aspects as well. So it's really to help create dialogues out there, to help people expand their awareness and realize they have this tremendous power within them to transform their lives and to be so much more than they are and to feel so much better than they do. And I just felt really compelled to do it. I've been encouraged by clients and peers, and I know that there are many books about the subject out there, but mine is just a different perspective. It's not the party line view. It's a different angle on things, and really, it's kind of my loving tribute to this thing that I've been part of. You know, to be able to guide people in their journey and to be a witness to these things, and I felt like I needed to do that.
And where can people get a copy of the book, The Hypnosis
Island? Now, you can get the copy by paperback on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, or you can get it by ebook in Kindle and Nook and Kobo and iBooks. It's international as well as domestic, so it's available all over the place. It
and
just
people...
is not going to be in bookstores unless you order it.
Okay, and then how can people get in touch with you, Dawn Wheeler, if they want to perhaps have a session with you or communicate or connect with you?
Well, they can go to my website at mindovermatterworks.com, and they can read the information there, and they can also click on the mailbox that's on my site, and it'll put up a form there, and they can send me an email. Or they can call me at 248-609-0440.
All right, Dawn Wheeler, we appreciate you taking the time. I think we've learned a lot, and hopefully we've cleared people's mind about what hypnotherapy really is. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was Dawn Wheeler. She's a certified hypnotherapist in the Detroit area. Sounds like she has a lot of good information and a lot of useful tools that we can use, because really, who doesn't want to feel good? And she talked about a lot of the issues that I like to talk about, and that's loving yourself and being self-aware, and mindfulness matters. I was talking to my son the other day, and I said, if I had a chance to go back and do it all over again, I would, knowing what I know now. But since I can't, and I'm not living in the past, and I have no regrets, but I know so much more now. That's why I do this show, to share this with you and hopefully give you a different perspective and improve your life. I feel a strong urge to share that. And I really appreciate you taking the time to listen. And hopefully at the end of the show, you will feel better about yourself and better about life, because it's not easy. What I've learned is that no matter how hard you try, how much you pray, how much money you have, or how many people you can call a friend, stuff is still going to happen in life. Not necessarily good stuff, but it's up to you to decide how to react. It's all perspective. As I was telling Dawn, I've been through a lot of stuff in my life, but I still wake up happy every day, and I wake up expecting something good to happen. So I try to envision it. I meditate, or maybe go in a hypnosis state, get in touch with your subconscious, as Dawn was suggesting, and I feel like what it would feel like if it happened. And I always have hope, and I always have gratitude. I walk on all the time trying to be aware of all my blessings and consciously being thankful for them. That opens me up to more possibilities and helps me realize the positive things in my life. And then I say, oh, well, what's next? Which, you know, may sound easier said than done, but again, I've been through a lot of stuff, and yeah, you do have to maybe grieve a little or cry a little, or you do have to work with those feelings and get past it so they don't get stored in your subconscious. You do need to express them, because if you don't, they will get stuck in there and come out in other ways. But ultimately, I sit back and say, oh, well, what's next? Something good's going to happen. I'm expecting it to happen. Pick yourself up. Say, oh, well, what's next? Because that's just life. It's a journey. We're all on it. Just trying to make the best of everything. And that's why I love to laugh. I would rather laugh than cry. I would rather laugh than complain. I would rather laugh than sit around and think, what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with everyone else? It's not going to get me anywhere. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's a choice. Again, it may sound easier to say than do, but not really. I've had an extremely challenging childhood and life, lost loved ones, many health challenges for the people around me, but I still think ultimately I'm in charge of my life right now. I know God may have a plan, or God does have a plan based on your thoughts. I never want to challenge anyone's religious beliefs or threaten them, but I'm in charge of my feelings, and I'm choosing to be loving and lighthearted. I choose what to think, I choose what to say, I choose what to do, and I choose who to be. And a lot of that could be genetics or upbringing, but that's why I try to empower myself with self-awareness and experiences that are going to enrich and improve my life and be around people who raise me up, not bring me down. So think about it. It's your choice. You can feel good if you want to. And if you don't or you can't, then call me, or email me. Let's talk about it because that's what I'm here for, to help give you perspective. My email is lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, @gmail.com. So that is it for this show. We have lots of shows archived here right on bodymindspiritradio.com. That is the great thing about internet radio. You can go back and listen to any show, anytime, and July 2nd was my interview with Dr. Rudy Tanzi, one of my proudest moments. He's a Harvard researcher. He's discovered several Alzheimer's genes, and we had a great interview about using your brain. A lot of what Dawn Wheeler was talking about today, but Dawn is more about dealing with your subconscious. And basically what it boils down to is just being here to help and to help and connect with you. And again, I'm very grateful that you've taken the time to listen. Email me, lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, @gmail.com. And I look forward to connecting with you next week. Thanks so much for listening to today's inspiration.